Hey, good morning. Pastor Lenny from New Life Church, Fishkill, New York. Thank you for joining me this Friday morning as we continue our Colossians study. And I just want to let you guys know how much I love and appreciate you. I love and appreciate you so very much. I am so thankful for you. And like I mentioned, it's Friday morning, continuing in our Colossians studies. But the good news is we're out of chapter two. Well, no, it's not good. You know what? We could have spent more time in chapter two. Well, we could have spent more time in chapter one. But yeah, it's good news that we are starting chapter three, you know, because as soon as we're done with chapter three, chapter four, whatever, we're going to jump into Philippians. But for the time being, we're going to enjoy Colossians. So here we are, Colossians chapter three and verse one. And as we begin to read verse 1 of chapter 3, you're going to see a familiar phrasing. It's been translated in a particular way that becomes familiar with us, familiar in Paul's writings. And it's important to understand what Paul is meaning and what Paul is saying in this phrase. And for instance, let's start. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So we see how it begins with, if you then, if you then. Now, it's really important to understand that when the Apostle Paul, or when it's interpreted or translated in the way that it is, Paul is not using the word if the way you and I may understand the word if, the meaning of the word if. And I'll give you an example. Okay, hey kids, if it doesn't rain on Sunday, we are going on a family picnic. So that word if means, if it's not raining, we're going. But it also means, if it's raining, we're not going. So this means we won't know if we're going or we're not going because of that word if. If it's raining, the ball game will be canceled. If it's not raining and it's sunny out, the ball game will be played. So there's a lot riding on that word if. Again, if it's raining, no ball game. If it's not raining, ball game. If it's raining, no family picnic. Sorry, guys. But if it's not raining, we're going on a family picnic. So you can see the way that if, you know, is typically used. If he passes his bar exam, he will become a lawyer. You know, if. Well, there's a chance that he won't pass the bar exam. And he have to wait till it's given again and take it again. Because if he doesn't pass the bar exam, he will not be a lawyer. If he passes it, he will become a lawyer. So that little word if is big. But now hear what Paul is using this. If you then. So Paul is not using it in a way that means you can be, you might be, or you might not be. That's not how Paul is using this. Paul is using this phrase indicating, listen, this is a fact. You have been risen with Christ. So then, if you have been risen with him, big difference. Paul is using this language to indicate something that has happened, that has taken place. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Really important. He used the same phraseology. It's interpreted the same way, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If you were to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says it has the same phrase. If you, right? If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, just like it quickened Jesus' mortal body, will quicken your mortal body. So now, think of our understanding of the word if? Well, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it will quicken our mortal bodies. But you see, in our understanding of the word if, it's like, well, is it dwelling in us? Or is it not dwelling in us? Get that thinking out of your minds. Because what Paul is saying, listen, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So Paul is speaking about a matter of fact reality. Yes, guys, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then just like that Spirit quickened Jesus' mortal body as it laid on the slab in the tomb, then it will quicken your mortal body. Got to believe it. You have to believe it. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Believe it. Your body is being quickened right now because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead does dwell in you. So I hope you're able to see what I'm talking about, what I'm speaking about. Don't get confused with our understanding of if. Okay? If we get there in time, the store will still be opened. But if we don't get there in time, the store will be closed. That's not how he's using this. Okay? When he's using this phrase, it's indicating that this is a reality. So you look in chapter 3, verse 1. If you then, being risen with Christ, so Paul is saying, listen, here's the reality. Here's the reality. You died with Christ. We looked at that in the previous chapter. You died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. Why? Because you were one with Christ. And because you died with Christ, and you were buried with Christ, and you were one with Christ, you were risen with him. So if you're now risen with Christ, see, this is what he's saying. Think about throne room realities. Throne room realities. Seek those things which are above. Fix your mind on throne room realities. This is what Paul is saying here. Now, you know, it's just many in the body of Christ don't understand their unity, don't believe in this unity, can't see this unity. You know, how are we united with Christ? Think about it. How can we truly have been united with Christ? It has to be understood spiritually. It's the only way it could be understood, spiritually. Think about what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I was crucified with Christ. I was crucified with Christ. What do you mean, Paul? When Paul wrote that in the book of Galatians, it was, you know, let's just say it was AD 60. Well, Jesus was crucified AD 30, sometime between AD 30 and AD 33. So, can we say that Galatians came 25 to 30 years after Jesus was crucified? But yet, here's Paul saying, I was crucified with Christ. Now, why? Because Paul knew God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In verse 18 of that chapter, 19 of that chapter, chapter 5 of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it talks about how in Christ God was reconciling the whole world, not holding their sins against them anymore. So, follow this. Paul, I was crucified with Christ. Do you know you and I can make that same statement, because that same statement is true about you and I? Much of the body of Christ can't comprehend this. You know, sometimes it takes me a while to wrap my soul around this spiritual reality, but I was crucified with Christ too. Why? Because my sins were on him. My sins were put on him. You think about this. Everybody's sins, past, present, and future, were put on Christ. They had to be. This is why Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. His sins were put on Christ. And at that point in time, all the sins that were put on Christ that were Paul's sins were in the future. See what I'm saying? So now, this is why the Father can make the statement in Hebrews chapter 8, in Hebrews chapter 10, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, sins and iniquities he remembers no more. Because every single sin, past, present, and future, of every single person was put on Christ. Christ is not to be sacrificed ever again. Christ was only sacrificed once for the forgiveness of sins. He was made sin with all sin. And that united us with him so that when he was buried, we were buried with him. And now he carried and took sin away. And now, as he was raised to newness of life, resurrection life, righteous life, so were we, because we were one with him. We were in him. We were united with him. And this is why that doctrine or that teaching of continually, you know, reminding yourself that you're a sinner, continually reminding yourself that you need to confess. Understand this. God has no more remembrance of it. It was removed, it was taken away. God only has remembrance of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He wants us to now be ruled in our souls by righteousness consciousness, by holy and by blameless and by sanctified consciousness, not by sin consciousness. Not by sin consciousness. Now just think about it. As we are being renewed, therefore become transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, therefore put on the new man, which has been created in true righteousness and true holiness by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're seeing here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, where it's again talking about setting our minds, right? In the process of becoming renewed, the renewal transformation, right? We may miss the mark. There might be a glitch. We may sin. Now that doesn't make you a sinner. What made you a sinner was the old nature. But you see, what God wants us to do is to move on in our righteousness, to move forward in our holiness, to move forward knowing that Christ took that sin, buried that sin, carried that sin away, and now we've been raised to newness of righteous life. And this is why in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, if any man sin, if. See, there's that word if, and it means the if that we think it means. If, well, that means we can. It can happen. But it also means if, it might not happen. Can you understand that? That word if means it's possible that we no longer sin. So instead of preaching New Testament, New Covenant, New Creation realities where it's possible that if you understand correctly, that if you become renewed, as you allow your soul to be renewed, as you understand that you now have the Spirit of God's Son in you, that as you understand you are led by the Spirit, and you allow the Spirit to lead, that it's no longer you who live, but you've died, you were crucified with Christ, and it's no longer you who live, but it's Christ who now lives in you, then the if becomes never, never again. That's possible. That's doable. That's achievable. But in that, know this, if you fall, and if you do stumble during the renewal process, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, our righteousness. So in other words, before the Father, Adam fall, Adam missing the mark, if takes place, righteousness is what he sees. He looks, sins and iniquities he remembers no more. Oh, hallelujah. No longer counts sins against us. What he sees at his right hand is righteousness. And remember this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, we are co-seated in and with righteous Jesus Christ. The gospel is powerful. New creation realities is powerful. Hallelujah. I hope in a small way, in some way, in a big way, you're grasping hold of this New Testament, new creation realities. The truth of who we are, the truth of what we have, the truth of what we can do, the truth of being in Christ. If you remember Wednesday night, you know, no more conflicting covenants operating in our life. No more clashing covenants operating in our lives. No more mixed covenants operating in our lives. Rightly cutting, rightly dividing. We are in this new covenant, new creation realities. So Paul starts out chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 1. So listen, if you've been risen with him, and again, you and I have, we have been risen with him. We have been raised to newness of life with him. We have been raised in resurrection life with him. We have been raised in resurrection power with him. We have been raised, united, and joined, and one with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, you know, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So if you then have been risen with Christ, with Christ, with Christ, co-jointly formed. This is what this word is talking about. Co-jointly formed. One with him. You know, go to the frozen yogurt stand and they have vanilla and they have chocolate and in the middle, right? It's the mixture. It's vanilla chocolate. And all of a sudden when you have that vanilla chocolate, you can't separate the vanilla from the chocolate. You can't separate the chocolate from the vanilla. It's now one flavor, vanilla chocolate, chocolate vanilla. You can't separate yourself from Christ. Christ can't be separated from you. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. That's what happens at born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. The Father establishes us at born again, born anew in Christ. Co-jointly forms us with Christ, in Christ. Anoints us with the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, and then seals us. Nothing getting in, nothing getting out. Hallelujah. So if you then, being risen with Christ, you have. Now, seek those things which are above. What this is really saying is, set your attention on throne room realities, where Christ is sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, it's very important. What we're going to do is jump back to Ephesians, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, all right? Ephesians chapter 2, remember verse 6, and has raised us up together. If you then, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you then, being risen with Christ, see, Paul is making an assumption that you understand you have been risen with Christ. If you then have been risen together with Christ, seek things that are above. Put your mind, set your mind, set your understanding on throne room realities. And so now here's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 again. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been positioned, co-seated with Christ. Seated, co-seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. So now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul is saying, if you then, being risen with Christ, and we have, it's done, then set your mind on throne room realities. Seated with Christ, right hand of the Father, heirs of all the promise, joint heir with Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ, the blessings of Jesus Christ, the favor of Jesus Christ are all yours and mine. Beautiful portion of scripture to open up Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then, being risen with Christ, then seek things above. Set your mind on throne room realities where Christ sitteth, because that's where you sit. When God raised Christ Jesus, he raised you. When Christ was seated at the right hand of the Father, you were co-seated with him, the right hand of God. What a beautiful way to open up chapter 1. This is Pastor Lenny saying, be blessed. You are blessed. Walk in those blessings. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you and talk to you on Monday morning.